speed, the ones that's got the speedy hand on the Bible, you can go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 real quick too. But as I was sitting there this morning, God was put in my spirit that God doesn't mind to take things down that you put in His place. I'll say that again for everybody listening as you're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Whatever you put in God's place, God doesn't mind to tear it down. I firmly believe this. I believe in our country, we've tried to put some people in some places and some things in the place of God. If you try to put a man in God's place, God will tear that man down. I don't care if it's your daddy, your granddaddy. I don't care if it's somebody you look up to. I don't care if it's your president. I do not care. God will take that person and lower him down where you can only look to one person. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was sitting there, and I know it's simple-minded. You might not like it, but it's very simple-minded to me. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. Do you know it? You better know it. Because I'm going to be honest, we weren't a time now that you better know what you know. I started out in church. I'm being honest, I was raised in church, but I really didn't get it. I was forced to go to church when I was a young kid. I went to a very legalistic church when I was a kid. But one thing those preachers did have, they would tell you something like this: you better know that you know that you know. And every time they said that, I would say, yep, that's simple enough. You better know that you know that you know. And see, I didn't know for a long time. I didn't know. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know if I was going to, I thought I was going to heaven. There would be times where somebody would say, are you saved? And I'd say, I think so. There was a time where I went up and I talked and I done this and I think I am. You know what? If somebody asked me the same question about being born, they say, hey, have you ever been born? Yep. You know why? Because guess what? I came out of there and I started eating, I started making messes, I started growing and changing, and you know what? Here I am, I was born. You can know that you were just as much born again as you were born, amen? Because I hate to tell you this, when you get born again, you start eating. You know what? The things that you didn't like before, you start liking. Church, yeah, it turns into a good thing, not a have-to thing. The Bible turns into a meal. The music turns into, it's about Him. I loved what Scott was doing this morning because really we weren't as much singing about Jesus, were we? We were singing to Him. That's our problem. We're singing songs trying to get ourselves hooked up instead of singing to Him who hooks us up. Amen? We're coming in here going, man, I really like that song. Sing that, and that's a blessing to me. Where we should be saying, God, what do you want? God, what would you have us to say? Amen? Because I want to hit the chord that God wants to hit. So Jesus loves me, this I know. You're going to hear this in a little bit of a theme today. I'm going to preach this tonight or today. I'm going to preach some of it Wednesday and I'm going to preach some of it next Sunday. So some of you can say, well, you know, I'm not coming back because I know what He's going to be preaching on. Well, this is it. But God dropped this one in my spirit. I'm doing a whole lot of stuff today just by my spirit. Amen? Because I'm spirit-led. I'm not spirit-dead. Amen? I'm born again, and I can hear God, and I can feel God. I don't have to sit around and say, well, God, give me something in that 2 days advance where I know what I'm doing. I can trust Him, amen? So let me give you another I know, amen? Y'all ready for it? And we know. You might want to underline these. These are important in 2020 and any other time past this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If you love God, I don't know how you feel about today. I don't know how you're feeling right now. But guess what? I know all things are working to the good that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Are you called according to His purpose? Do you love God? So then everything that is happening is working out to your good. Man, I'm being honest. You're not going to have to wonder if this message is about you, for you, or to you. It is. Oh, he used this mysterious method. He took a New Testament, he took an Old Testament, and he had a type and a shadow. This is not type and shadow. This is fact. If you know God, you can trust God no matter what's going on. And if you don't know Him, you're wasting your time this morning. You need to get up out of your seat, get on this altar, and cry out to God. And matter of fact, if you can't make it to the altar, fall down in the pews and pray there. God doesn't reside up here. God resides in every place. Some of y'all need to make up your mind that you're serving Jesus. Some of you need to make up your mind that I know that all things. Listen, you think I'm preaching to you this morning? I am not. This is for me. I'm kind of ashamed of me right now. I'm ashamed of how I felt the last 3 to 4 days. Because there's been a war going on the inside of me. And my physical man saying, do this. And my spiritual man's going, who in the world are you? I thought you died or dying. But my spiritual man says, you ain't going to hurt nobody. And you ain't going to hurt nothing. I've sent you here to help, not hurt. To heal, not kill. And man, that's everything in me. My preacher, the preacher side of me, the spiritual side of me is going, man, there is a world out here to minister to. Not to hurt, not to kill, not to destroy, but to tell them about Jesus. Because you know what? God could have left me in my sin. And I could have been further out than anybody out there right now. And I could have died in my sin and sat in a place called hell this morning and not have a chance. But because God loved me when? While I was yet an enemy of His. While I was yet an enemy of His, God saved me. He died for me before He saved me, but then He came after me with the full forces of heaven, even when I was in my mess. So what are we supposed to do? Sit back and think, man, it's time to fortify, it's time to get strength, time to go against. No, you know what you should say? Man, the fields are ripe for harvest. Man, maybe they need a gospel message in there. Maybe while there's no message of hope, maybe, you know what was good about coming to church this morning? Man, it's a whole different message in here. I came in here and all I've heard is hope, love, joy, count your blessings. If y'all didn't know, I walked all the way to the door. Y'all almost had to have another preacher this morning because I stood outside. I was like sitting there going, do I run or do I stay? Because, man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Are you blessed this morning? I've heard that for 2 straight days. I'm blessed beyond measure. I'm counting every. If you count all your blessings, you can't sit here this morning and go, man, it's no good for us. Man, God's been so good to you this morning. If you're sitting here this morning, God's been real good to you. Most of you have not missed a meal. I can tell. I ain't either. He's been real good to you. If your grandkids and kids are sitting in here, I looked over a couple times. I'm sitting there looking at my grandbaby. I'm sitting there thinking, my God, what am I worried about? The same God that reaches down for me reached down for her. They could be in a whole lot worse places. Whew. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, for we know that if. Y'all see that right there? For we know that if this earthly house, this tabernacle, we're dissolved. We have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you know that? I don't care if you've been baptized here. I don't care if your name's on the church roll. I don't care if you grew up here. I don't care if you put the first pillar, the first piece of concrete. I don't care if you painted every board. I don't care if you put the carpet down. I don't care about that. Do you know that if this body that you're living in died, if you drew your last breath right now, do you know that you'd be in heaven? If you don't, you can. If you don't know that, you can leave here this morning and absolutely know that you're on your way to heaven and saved. I'm running into more and more people in this church who say every once in a while, I don't know about somebody, I remember this time. Listen, I'm being honest with you. I don't really care about the date, and I really don't care about the time, but there is a change. I don't really care. Well, it was one Sunday and when I was 9 years old. I came when I was 10 years old. I don't care about that. Has there been a change in your life? And do you love God more than you love anything else? Do you want to please Him more than you please anything else? And do you know without a shadow of a doubt, with my breath goes out of my body, I'm going to be in glory? Do you know that? Because if you don't know that, this altar's open for you. You need to, some of you in the middle of these aisles right now, need to push people aside and say, I don't really know. I'm being honest with you. I'm scared out of my mind. I come to church scared. I leave scared. I'm scared that if I died today, I wouldn't know where I was going to spend. The modern day church doesn't preach about heaven and hell anymore. We worry about things that don't matter. Listen, 2020 is the time where we jettison all the petty stuff of the church. We need to start worrying about souls being saved and Christians growing into the Christians they need to be. We need to disciple Christians. We need to toughen up, get a thick skin, and say, yeah, it hurt my feelings, but I'm staying anyway. Some of y'all worked at the same jobs for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and you've had your feelings hurt, you've been mad at your coworkers, but you dress up and show up every day. But at the house of God, well, they didn't do it my way, and you don't go back. They hurt my feelings. They left me out. They didn't say. They didn't call. They didn't do. Praise God. Did God forget about you? Did He let you down? A man might let you down. A woman might let you down. Somebody might let you down, but God will never let you down. You should just come back despite everybody else to praise Him. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. If so that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon the mortality might be swallowed up of life. What it's saying is, you know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to have a new glorified body. This death that you see, this golly, y'all are so special. You guys have no clue. You don't. I love you guys, and I know everybody wants y'all, all the youth. But I'm going to tell you something. You guys in the back, too, you don't know anything about this. You don't. You think, man, I'm bulletproof, 10 feet tall. Ain't nothing happened to me. Praise God. Listen, when you hit about 30, it's a slide on the other side. Sorry, Chris Williams. I had to tell the truth. When things start hurting, they never hurt before. Amen. When things you say, oh man, I'm gonna live forever. You ain't gonna live forever, amen. You ain't gonna live forever. Listen, there's this thing on the inside who says it starts to groan. It starts to say, no matter what happens. Goodness gracious, y'all are so spiritual. I wish I had about three or four real guys in here. You look in the mirror. It is a woman and a man had a mirror. They've been married about 30 years together, and they were standing there looking in the mirror together, and she's fixing her hair and doing her makeup, and he's brushing his teeth, and he's looking in there, and he knows he don't recognize the guy that's in there no more. Man, his hair's either gone or gray. Got wrinkles everywhere. My muscles making a U-shape instead of a... an enclave instead of enclave? Hey, man. Man, I don't even recognize myself anymore. I'm going downhill. And the wife, in her normal helping capacity, says, at least your eyesight's not terrible. Hey, man. Hey, man. At least that hasn't failed you yet. You can see everything I see. Hey, man. But praise God, that's the sweet thing about Christianity. That's a sweet thing about knowing Jesus. Forget what I said. It's a sweet thing about knowing you're saved. Because the older I get, the closer I am to heaven. When something else fails, I know something else is going to take its place. Amen? When one part of my body says, I'm giving up on you, the spirit man says, but you're going to get one that never does. Praise God. When somebody says, hey, you're going under, God says, no, you're going up. Hey, I'm going out. No, you're going in. Oh, man, I think I can't make it. You know what? Some of y'all need to stir up Jesus in your life. You've let Jesus settle. See, you got saved a long time ago, but you forgot how to live in the joy of your salvation. You're sitting there letting all the bad stuff settle in your head and all the good stuff is settled in your feet. Some of y'all need to start reminding yourself who you belong to. I belong to God. Praise God. He'll keep me here as long. Oh, just read the scriptures, Kevin. Verse 5, now he that wrought us for the self same thing. Oh, slow down, Kevin. Watch this right here. Watch. Verse 5, y'all ready? Look at it with me. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Ooh, glory. A down payment. When you're going to buy something and you've purchased it, you put a down payment, an earnest payment. God said, I'm giving you part of me. No, y'all can't. I'm putting the Holy Spirit in you. Listen, everything about you is dying, but this thing that I'm putting in you. Amen? I'm putting an earnest payment. So every time you think, man, I'm dying, I'm going under, I'm failing, oh, it's too big for me, there's somebody on the inside, if you'll listen to them, it's still a small voice, they go, no, we win. We win. Hey, don't worry, we're going to win. I know you got depression, but we win. I know you're anxious, but we win. I know you're fearful, but we win. I know you think, I know you don't think you're going to make it in your health. I know your mama had diabetes. I know your mama had cancer. We win. I know your daddy had Alzheimer's. We win. I know you're worried about the doctor's result, but the doctor's result doesn't tell you what happens in the end. We win. Amen. I'm telling you guys, you better figure this out before it's too late, that God's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your issues. I'm telling you, it's hard to preach to people who sit and go, man, this is the worst day ever. No, the worst day ever was when you would have died in your sin. That's your worst day ever. If you're sitting on the outside of the kingdom of God and you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, this is your worst day. If you're sitting here saved, some of y'all need to buck up and just go, hey, praise God, I'm on my way to heaven. I've got to earn this down payment. I don't know if I said this early when I said, if you're not spirit-led, you're spirit-dead. If you don't have somebody on the inside that's contrary to you, man, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm sorry, I apologize to some of you. I have a very competitive side. There's about four of you know that in here. I'm competitive. If we start competing about something, I'll get angry. But guess what? There's also another side of me on the inside now, that says, reconcile. Let that go. Quit. Amen? Because listen, there's a side of me that says, go on offense. There's a spiritual man in there that says, relinquish control to me. Relinquish control to me, and I'll take care of you. And I'll take care of everything. And praise God, I'm glad it's in there. Listen, Gary, it's so sweet. The rest of me's loud, but that thing's so soft and so soft-spoken, but it's so contrary that I can hear it over everything else. Hey, Kevin, calm down. Shut up. Be quiet. Get over there. Stay here and shut up. I won't do this. Hey, Kevin, I love you. I called you. I found you in that murk and mire and got you out. Amen? Y'all ready? Watch this. Watch. Verse 7. Look at it with me. Look directly at the paper. Watch this. There we are all, this is verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Watch this, verse 7, y'all look at it with me. For we walk by faith, not by sight. How many of us in 2020 has took a peek with our physical eyes? No, be honest. We're walking by faith because we know. Because we know. Because we know. We know if this tabernacle dissolves, we're in heaven. We know all things work to the good. So praise God. Every once in a while, we get a different report. So then all of a sudden, we look at it with our physical eye. But we're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight. We're supposed to be saying, you know what? The next step looks like I'm walking off the edge, but there's something there just as solid as the physical ground. Amen? I can trust God. Even when I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I do know who does know. Amen? He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the A to the Z. Amen? That means God has already been down to the end. Amen? If you ever get the opportunity to read the book of Isaiah, you will see in Isaiah 53 that God described the crucifixion to a T. If you'll go into Psalm 22, he verbatim describes the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. One of them is 800 years prior, and one of them is 1,000 years prior. To details that the ones who walked with him ran from him, that they cast lots for his vesture, that they made fun of him, that they spit upon him, that they plucked his beard, that they took his outer garment and gambled over it. Praise God, there's a couple of things in there. They pierced his hands and his feet. He was crushed for our iniquity. He was bruised for our healing. There are things like that that God was saying 800 years in advance to 1,000 years saying, I got this. I got this. I covered you. I made a way for you. And then guess what? In that same book, and in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelations, before it's ever happened, 2,000 years prior, he says there is a second coming of Christ. In Acts chapter 1, he said these angels showed up next to the apostles as they were standing there looking up. They said, why are you men of Galilee standing here gazing up? Why are you men standing here looking up? This same Jesus will return in like manner. This what? This same Jesus? The one that ascended up into heaven, the same Jesus is coming back. That was over 2,000 years ago. And guess what? It's going to happen. You say, well, preachers have been saying that for thousands of years. Yes, because God is long-suffering. God says, don't take my long-suffering for weakness. He said, I'm just stretching this thing out for you. Amen? Listen, would you like to see people you love being tortured? Would you like to see people that you love being going through turmoil? Neither does God. But God also wants to see some more people get saved. So guess what? He's stretching this thing out. And while he's stretching it out, he's taking a record. He's taking a record, amen, of what's going on. He knows what's happening, amen. I'm only give you a couple more, I promise. I'm about done. We're going to try to make it to 11 if we can. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Let me tell you this way. We are sitting here in this life right now, and all it says is we want to be pleasing to God. If I'm in heaven, it's about me. I'm all right. If I'm on this earth still drawing breath, we're trying to live in such a way that would please God. You know what? That comes from the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of you have had to go through this in the last 48 hours, 24 hours, 72 hours, last week or so. But God, the Holy Spirit says, just be quiet a little bit. Hold that back. Reserve that. Look at this instead of that. Hear this instead of that. Amen? Because guess what? I'm trying to be pleasing to God. Are you trying to please God? You know what? You can't please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. If you're sitting here trying to please God by showing up at Sunday morning, trying to please God by doing right, all those things are good. But you know what pleases God? Is when you say, I believe in who you are, and I put all my trust and faith in you, and I'll follow you, and I'll trust you. Amen? I'll trust you. Watch this. Let's go just a little bit further. For we must all appear, verse 10. Look at this with me real quick. Y'all look at this, verse 10. Y'all guys, look at this. Look at me with this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you hear me? Did you hear me? I told you this is not fake. This is real. This is not, this clouded up. You don't know what it is. I'm going to tell you this right now. Listen, everybody in this room, everybody, in less than 100 years, all right? In less than 100 years, everybody in this room. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it good or bad. Every single person in this room will stand before God and give an account for your life. And whether you know him or not, in salvation. Amen? And in 2020, everything in me, I want to preach about drinking. I want to preach about lying. I want to preach about stealing. I want to preach about homosexuality. I want to preach about adultery and all those things. But you know what I want to tell you? If you get saved, a lot of those things will take a back seat in your life. A lot of those things will leave and get in the trunk of your life. Some of those things will get in the rearview mirror of your life, and we won't worry about them no much. You know what I hate pastoring a church in 2020? Because we're still talking about those things instead of gearing you up to walk in the fullness of God's calling in your life. You know what? We should have evangelists, missionaries, and teachers coming out of here. We should be people that are so full of the Spirit. When we walk out of here, we should be hearing of things going on in Saudi Daisy, Dunlap, and in Chattanooga, that there's a bunch of radical mountain folk who got saved and are born again and are growing in the Spirit so much that every time people get around them, they get saved and they can't help it. Amen? Some of y'all say, you got a radical view of this church. Yes, I do. I've got a very radical view of this church. We shouldn't be sitting here every morning and stop drinking. Stop lying. Stop committing adultery. Stop doing that. You know what we should be saying? Guess what? Get ready. Because you know what? The greatest ministry opportunity of your life is right in front of you. Your neighbors need Jesus. Your coworkers need Jesus. The people at your school need Jesus. And guess what? Some of you in this room, you need Jesus. Because when I read that about everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ in here, some of you sit there and went, oh no, what would happen to me? I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't know Jesus, he will say, depart me, you worker of iniquity, I've never known you. And if you have done something wrong and you've got stuff in your life and you're a born-again believer, he said, listen, I paid every bit of that on the cross. I was disappointed that you didn't live to the fullness of your life, but I covered you at the cross. You're forgiven. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. Some of y'all need to hit the altar and ask God to help you and forgive you of your sins, be the Lord of your life, and that way you can stand at that judgment seat and enter in. And some of you need to come up here and say, thank you, God. I took your mercy and your grace for advantage, and I'm coming up here. I took advantage of it. Lord, I need to ask you to forgive me for that. Y'all all right? I'm about done, I promise. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We're persuaded men, but we are made manifest unto God. I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Listen to this. I'm not telling you to be afraid of the Lord, but have reverence for Him. Listen, have reverence for Him. Amen? If you're lost this morning, have reverence for Him. He's in control of every breath you have. He's in control of your heartbeat. When you draw your last breath, you'll stand before Him and give an account for this life. Amen? So realize who that is. Some of you say, listen, I have a reverence for Him like I had my father. I don't like to sin against God. I don't like to fall short of God. But praise God, He is my Heavenly Father, and I know He loves me. He loves you too. Amen? Watch this right here. I want to give you this last one. This is so good. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer which them glory in the appearance and not in the heart. Verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. I saved that last one for last because you know what he was saying right here? It's kind of confusing when you're reading it. But what Paul was saying is, he said, this time when I come to church, I'm gonna kind of have myself under control, and God's got me under control. He said, because I want you to be able to look at your neighbor and say, yeah, that's our preacher, and he's got the power of God on him, but he's not a nut. Amen? He's not crazy. So God's allowed me to behave myself today. Amen? But what Paul was saying is, if we're under control and we're able to preach and we're able to minister and we're not able to get crazy, that's for you. He said, but if we get beside ourselves, that's for God. See, the church has done this in the last 20 years. We have learned how to stay under control. I like to stay under control, and I like people to come here and say, man, that guy, he didn't run the aisles, he didn't jump over the pews, he didn't crawl on the floor, he didn't weep out before. You know, that's good. But let me tell you something, if God gets on me, I really don't care what you think about me. I don't really care what your friends thought. I don't really care about what this town thinks. I don't care what people, you know what, if God gets on me, that's between me and God. There was a time when David, you know what David did? David, he was trying to carry God the wrong way. And it messed up and got Uzzah killed. Uzzah, he tried to prop God up. They were carrying the ark in a new cart with the oxen, and it got to wobbling. And he stuck his hand out and said, I'll prop God up. And God zapped him dead and told him, I don't need nobody to prop me up. So if you're trying to prop up God, he don't need it. So David, he put the ark of covenant, which is a representation of Jesus Christ, he put it in Benaiah's house. And he went down to Jerusalem for about 2 or 3 months, and the whole time Benaiah's house was on fire for God. His boys were being blessed. He was being blessed. Everybody's being blessed. But everybody down in Jerusalem was being tortured and sulking and crying and weeping. You know why? Because God was up on the mountain. He wasn't in the valley. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He was up in Benaiah's house. And after a while, David says, you know what? I'm getting sick and tired. We got all the priests. We got the temple. We got all the gold, the silver, and everything else. But we got everybody, but we don't have Jesus. You can have all kinds of stuff in the church. You ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. You know what he says? I'm gonna ask God, God, what would you have me to do? He said, get you some Levites and some poles and go up there and get Jesus. Y'all ain't going to like this. You know what he did? He said he went up there and he got him. He started carrying him right. Y'all, God, I know I'm preaching a whole crazy message right here. Some of y'all need to learn how to carry Jesus right. Some of y'all need to let him get in your lives, and you need to carry him. Some of y'all have left him at the house of God or left him somewhere else's house, and they're blessed, but you're not. David said, all right, let's pick him up and let's carry him. They picked up the Ark of the Covenant, and they went a few feet. And David said, sit him down. Sit him down. He took out an offering and sacrificed it unto God and praised God for a good long while. Now, y'all don't get it. What he was saying is, Jesus is coming home. He ain't blessing Benaiah and them anymore. He's coming home with me. Some of y'all need to take about a half step, stop, and just worship God. Some of y'all need to take about a half step right now and say, God's let me walk this far in 2020. Praise God. And you know what? They picked Jesus back up. I say Jesus because it's the Ark of the Covenant. Everything is in the Ark of the Covenant. It's a representation of Jesus Christ. And they started to enter into Jerusalem. And you know what David did? He got beside himself. He began to dance, and he shed a few clothes. Amen? I hate to tell you that. I know you're like, well, we're a little more modest than that. David got silly. David got sideways. And David danced so hard that his wife looked out a window and said, what a fool. What a fool for God. Amen? And David, you know what he did? He came up to there dancing so hard and praising God because Jesus was back. See, I know some people ain't got Jesus because you wouldn't do anything that hard or that crazy for Jesus, and you wouldn't make anybody else mad at you or worry about your sanity because you know what? You want to be calm. You don't want your mascara to run. You don't want your hair messed up. You don't want your hat to fall off. Praise God. You want to be, oh, just sit here and be real calm about this thing. Praise God. We got more trouble than we can do with. We ain't going to get a hold of God. We don't want God in it. So guess what? He starts dancing. Next thing you know, he gets up to the house. He's handed out meat to everybody. He's handed out drink to everybody. He got up to the house. I don't know if you read the Bible like this, but Mark, I read it like this. He come in the house. He's like, woo! Hallelujah! Praise God! Man alive! That was a good thing! Amen! Everybody's got a piece of meat. Everybody's got something to drink. Hallelujah! Jesus is back in the house! And his wife sitting over in the corner. You made a fool of yourself. He goes, yeah, I did. I made a fool out of myself. For God, I wasn't doing it for nobody else. You know what God did? He blessed David and he cursed her. Amen? He blessed David and he cursed her. Listen, some of y'all need to let loose and let God loose in your life. And God will take care of the other people. Amen? Scott, come on. There's a place in the New Testament. I know y'all know it's very, very clear. There's a place in the New Testament where there's a little lady come in with an alabaster box of ointment. It's Mary. And it's at the very end. It's where Jesus is about to be going to be crucified. And y'all stand. Jesus is about to be crucified. And he needs somebody to anoint his body before he goes to the cross. When she walks in the room to anoint him, she takes the alabaster box of ointment and starts pouring it over Jesus. And Judas said, oh, what a waste. Oh, what a waste has been made. But she kept doing it because God had sent her there to anoint his body for the crucifixion. She didn't worry about what the person to the left or right thought about him, about her. So therefore, she got blessed and Judas got cursed. Amen? Right. Some of y'all sitting in this very room right now, there's been times in this message where you've examined yourself. In the Bible, that's a good thing. God said it in the Scriptures. He says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. One of the best examinations you can do is how would you feel if you were standing in front of Jesus Christ right now giving an account for your life? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? I want you to just for a moment not to worry about the person to the left or the right of you. And I want you to think about eternity. And I want you to say, you know what? I'm going to go forward and I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I'm going to ask him to forgive me of my sins. I'm going to ask in him to create in me a new mind. I'm going to let old things pass away and I'm going to become new. It's a simple prayer. God, I'm a sinner. Save me. And there's some of you in this room that you've gotten so far backslid on God, you can't tell yourself from a lost person. You need to come up here and say, God, I rededicate my life to you, my service to you, my heart to you. You married me and gave me promises, and I made promises to you, and I'm coming back to you today. And there's some of you need to just pray and say, God, I'm saved as I can be. I'm on fire for God. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But God, I'm going to hang in here and pray for the ones that are not. And I'm not going to get anxious to leave. I'm going to get anxious for them to get saved. And if it takes 20 or 30 minutes, I'll stay. As they sing this song, please be obedient to God. Don't walk out of here and let the rest of your day, week, month, year in life be, I went to church, but I didn't get Jesus.